This is Kinetic Podcasts, a podcast geared for those reaching kids for Christ. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode we aim to inspire you and equip you, and most of all, energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to Kinetic Podcast, and it is so good to have one of my friends on the podcast today. Randy Mockaby is a kids pastor in Morgantown, West Virginia, and he's been involved in kids ministry, whether it be a kids ministry leader, pastor, or evangelist for the past 25 years. And he also hosts a podcast called Sticks and Dirt, which we're going to talk about today. And his main focus right now is being the kids pastor over Connects at Riverside Ministries in Morgantown, West Virginia. It is so awesome to have my friend Randy. Randy, thank you so much for being on Kinetic Podcast today.
Hey, Josh. Good to be back with you again. Glad to see you're still going with Kinetic Podcast, and glad I can help out again.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. Yes, we did have you on when I first started, been over a year and a half ago. That was the format where we would have two speakers, but man, you were so good. I just wanted to have you back where it was just you. So no pressure. This is, if you don't do well, then the whole episode tanks. Okay. No pressure.
All right. Well, I mean, we did sign a contract. I'm going to get paid either way, right?
Yes. Either way. I mean, it is kind of depending on your performance. So we'll see. I'm just kidding, man. So, Randy, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. How'd you get involved in kids ministry, and what's going on in Morgantown, West Virginia?
Well, Morgantown, a little bit cool up here right now, and just staying steady here. Kind of got off the evangelism field a little bit here a couple years ago and decided to stay focused on the kids' church here. Technically got started probably back in 1988, 89, when I first got in church, not too long after I got married. And all, I was at a very small church in Illinois, and they needed someone to help with the youth and children, kind of a mixture type thing there. And being a new convert and everything, you're willing to do about anything. And kind of pretty much what I did, kind of hopped in there with it and worked both with the young teens and some children here and there. And a few years down the road, just it kind of developed leaning more into the children aspect of it. And try to follow the protocol, I guess, like we all do. If I do a children's minister, then my next step is a youth minister. Then I'm a assistant to the pastor. It didn't work that way. It kind of just went backwards and just stuck with the kids ministry. So, and that's just where I've been ever since, and until even today. So, here we go.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And you got a great ministry there going on in Connects. Tell us a little bit about Connects, kind of what's going on, your format, what ministries you have within the kids ministry. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with Connects. I know you guys have an amazing VBS that you guys do every year that you go above and beyond. So tell us about all that.
Okay, Connects was developed, when I moved here a little over 3 years ago, getting close to four, and they had a kids church already, and we just kind of revamped it a little bit, gave it a new name. We had a brainstorm session, come up with the word Connects, K-O-N-N-E-X, and we call it Connects Kid Mission. And we do a kids' church format every Sunday for an hour. And on Wednesday nights, we have a smaller condensed version in a classroom format. The same amount of kids come into a smaller classroom size. And so we have the services twice a week. We don't have the traditional classroom settings for different ages. We do have a toddler classroom set up, and that's called Connect the Tots. Let's kind of play words with Connects and Connect the Tots. So the toddlers have their own classrooms. So that's the only two divisions we really have, and outside of a nursery. But Connects ages 5 to 12, basically what we run in the ages, and we have a real good, strong staff of adults, young people helping us out, and never really been shorthanded on it. They've been great help with us here, and probably more help I think I've ever had in anywhere I've ever been. and it's not a super large church by no means. We run around 150 people or something like that, and for the amount of staff that we have volunteered here full-time, and not full-time staff, but here every service, and then we have more people that help out, you know, as needed, you know, for extracurricular events that we do. So we've always got people there ready to help, you know, the outdoor events, and we do outreaches and things like that. So set up pretty good as far as that goes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Tell us about Soul Wars VBS. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, Soul Wars. We did a Star Wars themed VBS. Started back in 2015, and we actually created two different episodes, I guess, and one in 2015 and one in 2016. We have a website. We actually are selling the curriculum on there. It's soulwarsvbs.com. And our first one, kind of my own storyline, I guess, the Star Wars theme and Star Wars characters. We made our own costumes and foam props. And when I came here to Morgantown, that was their thing, is that they, when they did VBS, it was the thing to do. And everyone in the church pretty much jumped on ship to make this happen. And so I thought, wow, you know, usually it's, you know, the kids' church staff, five or six people doing this. You know, you pull off what you can. But when I came here, it's like, no, we want VBS. And we do this as one of our things that we're noted for in our community. And they do it big, and they try to put it all out there. And so I said, okay. And did just that and took the Star Wars theme. The kids were fired up, and the fact that you had so many adults, you know, my age and even younger, that were Star Wars fans or whatever, they were geeks. They got into it, too. They wanted to help. They wanted to make the props. They wanted to come to practice. They wanted to be in the classes. They wanted to do whatever they could. So the first year went great. We did a second year. And did some community outreach with them. We had our own costumes and stuff, and did set up some community outreach to promote VBS, you know, and Chick-fil-A's and Sweet Frogs and local businesses and whatnot with that in advance for it. So help kind of get the word out there. So just really blessed to be with a group of people that, you know, kind of share the same interest and enthusiasm. A lot of hard work. This last year we kind of stopped. My health wasn't the greatest. So in 2017, even though we had a new Doctor Who theme, VBS, it just kind of put on pause, and we're going to actually pick it up back now and be ready for that next year for 2018.
And you guys do an incredible job. I've seen some videos and pictures, and it's just, you guys go all out, you know, to say the least. Tell us about, you guys pretty much have like a life-size almost Millennium Falcon, right?
Not a life size. It was.
I think it's life size. It's big enough to be life size.
Yeah, we have a sanctuary that it's an older sanctuary, has a really tall ceiling on it, and we have a balcony where our sound booth is at. But anyway, the Falcon was made out of a wood frame and foam panels, and it was about 22 feet in diameter, and probably close to 3.5-4 feet thick. And we literally built it inside of our fellowship hall floor, dismantled it, brought the pieces in the sanctuary. And we have this truss that has lighting fixture that lowers down from the ceiling. And we assembled it back in the sanctuary, attached the truss, and raised it up. And there it floated above the kids in the middle of the sanctuary. And, of course, when you get all these kids showing up, you know, that's, you got the platform set, and you got other spaceships around everywhere, but that big Falcon there in the middle, when they walked in, was, and they sat underneath it, and had some light shooting down on top of them, was just had it been an experience. I know it was for us, and it had it been for the kids, so definitely fun doing that, and you know, taking the risk and putting it together and making it happen. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I was pretty amazed by just the pictures and the video. So I'm sure the kids just absolutely, they love that for sure. Now, Randy, anyone that follows you or knows you, you know, and I know you're a modest guy, so I'll go ahead and say it for you. You're incredible when it comes to the artistic side of kids ministry and building props and creating environments. And you're the foam master, in my opinion, as far as you can make anything out of foam. And so today our topic is creating a kidmin environment. And how do we create an environment, you know, for our kids when they walk into our Sunday school classes or they walk into our kids' church that really engages them? And so we're going to be, you know, kind of dive into that and how kids ministry leaders of all size churches and all budgets, you know, how can we create a great environment? So first of all, let's just kind of go back to the fundamentals of everything. In your opinion and in your philosophy, why is it important to even have an environment? Why even have an environment for kids' church or for kids to walk into? What's the importance of that?
I got a couple of things I like to go through on that, and I'm primarily number one, I'll just tell you, if I go to a kid's church and I can't make it fun for me, I won't have much interest in doing it. Number one, I look at it, I have to have fun myself. I'm 50 years old here next year, and I still, you know, when I have kid's church, it's got to be fun to me. Because if it's not fun to me, it won't be fun to them. And I look at fun as there's two opposing forces that whenever we jump into doing kid ministry, that we do one thing or the other. And those two forces are fun and growth. And growth, I like to look at it as the blueprint for our goal. And fun is that very tool that we build what we see on the blueprint. So we tended a lot, you know, in the past to shy away from the fun aspect in kids' church and in the past, and it was always just the growth and the seriousness of it and keeping your children's church the same as the adult church. And we shunned away, so let's not have fun, it's not the place for it. But down to here recent years, it's become a more acceptable part because we realize how vital the tool of having fun in an environment in kids' church really is. And I still see, you know, even today, remnants of, you know, you go to certain places, they omit the fun part in their own kids' church, but constantly want to have us kids evangelists back once or twice a year, which kind of counteracts that because we bring that fun with us, and they like that. And, you know, by nature, like you and I, we've been out there evangelizing with kids. The fun and the growth is part of us. It's together. It comes in simultaneously, and we work it together because they produce. It works. It's those two tools that work together that actually help you with your kids' church. You make that environment fun and creative. It's going to help with your growth. It's just the way it works. And again, like what I've done here last few years, and you've been doing. You know, we get off the road traveling as much as we did, and we settle down to a kids' church. Both of those forces are in play. And those the fun and the growth are both generating the expected outcome. You know, we're experienced, we know how it works, and we use it together. Now, however, in a smaller church or a place where, you know, even a layperson, you know, where the role of a kids' church pastor has been dropped in the lap because maybe there's no one else there that wants to take it, you know, and for whatever situation, just, you know, lack of people there to help do it, but we have kids, we need someone to get in there. This person says, okay, I'll take it, I'll do what I can. That person's going to walk in there most likely, and he's going to, you know, in his mind, in a way, looks at the fun aspect and the growth aspect and probably will just choose one of those out of fear of failure if they use the other inclusively, and which is true in itself. If you use one without the other, you know, you're going to experience some failure. You know, if I get tossed into a kids' church environment and, okay, how am I going to do this? I've never done this before. The only thing I know to do is to make it fun. And I build my kids' church on nothing but fun. You're probably not going to have the growth because you're not working for it. You're just working to have fun. You just want to keep kids' attention. Yeah. However, on the other hand, if I jump into a kids' church environment and without any experience, I think, okay, we got to be serious about this. We want growth. You know, pastor wants growth. We want to see, you know, these kids grow in God and want to see more kids get in here. And you focus on nothing but growth without a tool. Again, you could experience some amount of failure. And through the experience, you're going to see that both these have to work together. And the first thing is that fun environment excites the kids. And so, like we've talked before, and it's common knowledge with us all, when children walk into your kids' church or classroom, that wow factor has got to be there. Just like when they walk into a big toy store or a Chuck E. Cheese or whatever, you know, Disney World or wherever, they walk into the first, you know, impression. They see all the colors, and they see the props and the cutouts and the statues and the games and the activities and the lights and things like that going, the music. All that stuff impacts them, just like it does us whenever we as adults walk into a coffee shop, we walk into a restaurant. The setting, that environment sets us up like, this is a nice place. When I go to Starbucks, I like it nice and clean, and I like the atmosphere because I can sit down and do some writing or whatever on my laptop, and I can stay focused there. I like it. I got my coffee. I don't mind going there and being in that environment, and I don't mind purchasing their product. And the same concept falls with our kids, except it's in a whole different world. They walk into our kids' church. They're looking for that bite. They're looking for that thing to reach out and grab them and pull them in. But it's got to be on their level. So creating this fun environment, you know, excites the kids. So we got to come to grips that these are children and fun is their nature. It's how God wired them. And, you know, we were the same when we were growing up. We place the children in an adult church environment. It's not always going to feed their attention level that we need. You know, when a kid's classroom looks the same as a sanctuary, that's what I'm trying to say. When, you know, kids come in their kids' church or their son's classroom, it wants to be totally different. Like, this is made for children. A bright decorative fun room is not disrespectful to the house of God. This is my opinion. You know, if you have a room set aside for children, it's not disrespectful to have blue walls, yellow walls, you know, bright reds everywhere. But to me, it rather deserves the utmost respect. Jesus said, if you've done these unto the least of these, you've done them unto me. Now, I know he was talking to the sick and the poor and the naked and stuff like that, but it applies the same. There's compassion for people that want to feel wanted and feel like they want to be a part of something. And when I think about Jesus, you know, when he had kids on his lap and we see those stories, those verses, something about Jesus had to be fun. When the kids came to him, apparently he was a fun guy to some way to the kids. I can't look at Jesus as being a three-piece suit, stiff neck, pardon me, right, but I think that when he seen children around him, he knew some Bible jokes, if you can say. He knew how to connect the kids, and he knew how to get down on his hands and knees and play kickball with them and stuff like that, and he got on their level, and it wasn't solely the fact that he was God in the flesh that drew kids to him. Somehow he did something to connect with kids. And Jesus connects with the adults and at his time the same way, except his was miracles that he performed, his teachings, the belief, and those type of things attracted the big people, you know, as they would today. I mean, if I seen a guy, a preacher walking around and his shadow cast upon people everywhere he walked and they were healed, I'd jump right in front of him and say, hey, you know, I'd be drawn to that. And Jesus said, you know, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom. And in the middle of that, you know, he's trying to tell us, don't hinder them. Let them come to me. Don't hold them back. So I wonder if we hold back on creating a fun environment for our kids, are we hindering them? He said, let them come. Don't hinder. Create that environment in my house for them. I mean, and any grandparent will probably have, if not a room, at least a corner in their house where there's a toy box full of toys for their grandkids. There's an area set aside that's specifically for those grandkids. And they do that in their own house. You know, why should we, you know, hold back from doing that for kids in the house of God? We want them to come into our God-loving lifestyle that we present. And, you know, we can hinder the child by simply not doing anything that would make them feel like they have a part in this. So if we want our children to come to church and we want them to feel they have a part in this godly lifestyle, we need an environment, a room, an area where, you know, they feel that. It's a mindset where, you know, making kids wear adult shoes, you know, we might not even realize we're, you know, doing this. Hence the needs for a children's pastor. You know, we see that need and we create that, and we need to be unleashed to make that environment for them. At the same time, you know, keeping the reins on fun is so important. You know, when we have fun and create an environment of fun, we do it with a guided purpose, and we maintain the structure of it. For example, there's time frames where we have, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of play time. there's a segment we have for a game or activity, and it's structured. And, okay, this time is over. Let's move on to the next thing. As we go into our prayer time, as we go into our lesson. I'm not promoting free-range play, you know, in kids' church every Sunday. You know, this is, like I said, it's guided with purpose. It's structured. And, again, fun is a major tool, you know, that needs to be used to build growth. And that includes, you know, the environment. You know, the fun, decorative environment, an added benefit to that will also help feed the children's creativity and imagination because it's relevant to them. Another thing I see is the fun environment will also excite, you know, like I said, the kids at first. It's going to excite your base team. And whenever your team walks in, you know, every week and, you get to cut out props, your decor, painted walls, you know. And I might say this, the miracle that a painted wall does to your classroom, it is so cheap to paint your walls. If you just paint your walls in a classroom, it just brings to life. That in itself, just painting some bright colors in there. And you don't have to be super artistic. It does a world of difference. It really does. That being said, you know, it excites the base team, and so Kidman staff are kid-minded, of course, and that puts us in our zone. When we go in the sanctuary after we leave our kids' church hour service in the morning, we go in the sanctuary, we get in that adult zone of worship, and you know, and go with the choir and the preaching and all that. When we come into kids' church, you know, the environment set up to where, all right, it's time to focus on the kids. Let's do what we can to help connect them to Jesus. And that fun environment, you know, distinguishes the adult and the kids' world apart. And it sets the kids up to learn on their level. It sets them up. It prepares them. It says, hey, you are truly wanted here. You're loved here. This is where your world is at right here.
And that's a great point right there, Randy. I mean, you've made some amazing points, but I think what you just said there really kind of sums it up as far as, you know, when you have an environment and you spend hours and anyone, any kids ministers out there that have done VBSs or kids church themes, they know it takes hours, but the kids, you know, they see that and it shows that you care. You've taken the time to make these props. You've taken the time to paint the wall, to make these murals. And so that right there speaks volumes to kids that you care. And so that's awesome. So kind of, you know, going a little deeper, Randy, you know, now let's get a little more practical. Cause again, you've given some great points on why it's important. And you gave a great practical tip on painting a wall, you know, how something simple as that can happen. So kind of, help us out. You know, again, we have kids pastors, kids ministry leaders that are coming from all different kinds of churches, all different sizes of budgets or maybe lack of budget. You have different scenarios where maybe a kid's pastor, you know, they use a room on Sunday, but they have to tear it down because the youth group's going to be using it, you know, that Wednesday or Thursday. You might have, you know, kids ministry leaders that don't have a really big room that they can work with. So what are some practical ways that one, you know, that kids ministry leaders can get other people involved, you know, in their church, you know, if maybe they're not, you know, talented themselves in that area, how can they recruit others to help out, to be a part of that vision? And then what are some ways that kids ministry leaders can just use what they have, you know, whether it be a small room or a big room or a multi-purpose room, what are some practical things that they can do to just make the best environment that they possibly can?
Okay. But speaking about getting volunteers and workers, down through the years, I started doing this when I evangelized, and because that was always, you know, the big heave-ho question, you know, hey, you're a kids evangelist, you should have all the answers on how do I get all my church involved, how do I get staff to grow and stuff like that. Well, you know, really didn't, but I looked at it and studied a little bit more, and I realized, and I started doing this class on creativity that I do, and it's specifically for, you know, recruiting people into your kids' church. And what I address is that everyone here, you know, in your church, everybody, you're creative to some degree, some more than others, because God is our creator. We're like in his image. You have a degree of creativity inside of you. And the old saying where I don't have a creative bone in my body is a lie. Everyone does. And what I do is for this class, for what it's worth, I say, pastors, what we need to do, we need to invite this to the entire church. And anyone who wants to come to this little session, this little class, if anyone in the church ever wanted to work a little bit in kids' ministry or they just wanted to see what it's like, they wanted to say, you know, come to this class and just kind of get an idea of what it's like. You know, just open it up that way. Don't just say this is just for the kid men staff only. If you want to see what we really do and just kind of get an idea, get a taste, how can you help a little bit or a whole lot, come into this class here. And then when they're there, I bring out and I throw it in their laps, you know, and using some scripture and some exercise that they interact with, that I put in their lap, God's given you a responsibility to be creative, to be creative. And you need to find a place to use it in this church, whether it's in your men's ministry or ladies, or in this case, the children's ministry. You have, the responsibility hits hard because there's scripture to back it up. You know, you're going to, you know, been given to you. God's given you a talent. And those who did not use the talent, the one who did not use that one talent and buried it, he was fired. He was let go. So I dropped real hard on the lap and said, hey, God's given you a talent. Are you sitting on the pew hiding it? Because the other two guys did something with it. He shook their hand, gave him a promotion, and said, you're hired. You're part of my kingdom now. And the guy that sat on his duff and buried that talent, he said, I don't really want you around here no more. And that hits pretty hard. So it kind of puts a lot of responsibility in our lap and says, you know, okay, I've got one talent. It's not much, but I need to use it. I need to make it grow, no matter where it's at. And every time we do these classes, the church gets a pretty good sign up. You know, I want to help a little bit. I want to help on the side. I want to jump in this with both feet, you know. And people realize, you know, I have something to offer. And so that helps build up the team, you know, from that aspect of it. When they realize that they are creative and it's been given to them by God and that they have a responsibility to use it. So if you can use that tool, your church, that scripture alone in itself will help at least prompt some thoughts. And so talking about more of the core, you know, the smaller churches, I think, I always did cardboard back in the day, you know, back 80s and 90s, cardboard was always, you know, running to the department stores and looking for the washer and dryer boxes and painting up the cardboard and stuff like now where we've progressed here the last few years, the foam sheets, the 4x8 yeah. green foam sheets yeah. you see at Lowe's and your lumber yards, half inch thick, use a razor knife or a hot knife. And, you know, sometimes we'll freehand draw a big prop on there or use a projector to shoot an image offline, cut out these things and paint them up and use the Velcro sticky tape stuff to stick them to the wall or whatever. And here we got brick walls, so we have to use the Velcro sticky tape. If you got sheetrock, you can use anything, just a screw or whatever. Paint the wall, cut out some figures, and or just stand them up. You can make a little easel to hold them up, because I know some churches today still do every Sunday, take down and set up every Sunday. In our fellowship hall, another classroom, they come to Sunday school, and they decorate everything early Sunday morning. At the end of Sunday school, they have to take it all down, because that room is going to be used for something else for Sunday night or midweek or whatever. So the foam is very durable and long-lasting. And, you know, when you change things out, you know, there's other churches you can give them to or try to sell them even, you know, when you change things out, because they just last so long and definitely take care of them. And so foam is always a big deal for us. And I'm always resourceful. I'm always looking for stuff. The plastic 55-gallon barrels, I'll grab them things and I'll make something out of them. Anything I can see free or whatever. Cardboard tubes, the thick ones. You know, just, I mean, you name it. You know, PVC yeah. parts.
Yeah.
You know, people take stuff apart. Okay, I'm grabbing those PVC pipes over there because I need to make a puppet frame or something. I'm always resourceful looking for things that people are probably going to just throw away. And, of course, we become pack rats. We have this little bitty room somewhere, a garage that we're throwing this stuff into. I'm going to use this someday to make such and such for the kids' church. And a lot right. of it gets used, and a lot of it just kind of still sits there. So
yeah,
it feeds our creative juices. You know, I see something that I can use to make out of it later on. So and if I can talk about, you know, generating your decor for your environment. Some people say, okay, I got the idea, I can use foam, but what about my ideas? Where do I get this from? And there's two things that, and one of them we know is Google. I mean, all your resources you need for ideas, if you're short on ideas, I mean, if you're not already doing it, I mean, you got your Pinterest and all these other apps and stuff. Just type in kids church decoration theme and hit the search and hit images, and you're going to be inspired by all kinds of ideas. Now, that's copycatting, and that's fine. That generates ideas. Maybe you see something on there, another church, big church, and you're going to make a smaller scale version of it. The other way is, to me, is the more healthier for us is orchestrating a real think tank with your staff. You know, sit in a room, you know, put your phones down. Let's stop and think about this. Let's produce something original, you know, that we want to build in our kids' church. What's our theme for the year, you know?
Yeah.
And let's put our minds together and let's see what's most popular with the kids now. What can we use to – and I know if you did the emoticon Christmas thing. I've seen on your post. I guess you wrote that or something, or I don't know.
That was actually, well, to your point, that was something that I think it was actually a free program off of Children's Ministry Deals, which is a pretty popular kids ministry curriculum. Yeah, so we took, it was a free program you could download, free script. Oh, we definitely, you know, added to it and kind of made it our own. But then that backdrop, you know, the set, you know, to your point, you know, I got together with one of the ladies who does a lot of our set design and, you know, came up with making the stage, you know, an iPhone pretty much. And then we did that, you know, cause the kids were they were the stars. So, you know, they're sitting up there, you know, as emojis, and you can see the backdrop of the phone behind them and in front of them are the icons, you know, the mail, the phone. So it was a simple set, but it was, the whole purpose was to make the focus, you know, on them, on the kids. So yeah, so that was something that we took and just kind of made our own.
Yeah, I see that. That's pretty neat. So that's awesome. The and like with us, I'll pull our team together for like a VBS, like I did a couple months ago. I said, let's get together and start writing script. I just need your ideas. You know, if you need to use Pinterest and Bing and Google and all that, do it. But let's come back together and talk it out face to face. You know, and work out our details and let's put this plan into action. You know, as affordable as we can. A lot of the foam that we use, when we use it, especially they're like bigger pieces, we keep them because we can flip them around and cut something out smaller on the backside with it. You know, use it for parts and pieces for the next thing that we do. And so, foam and with the latex paint, you know, has just, it's pretty much it for us is what we use.
Okay.
And, it just helps out. It's actually fun and easy to make. And you can cut out any character you want. You know, get a picture from online and throw it on a projector and just trace it, cut it out with a razor knife. You know, be careful doing that. And paint it and stick it up there and, you know, make it relevant to what you're doing. You know, and it's just, it sounds easy. And, you know, to us who do it all the time, it is. You know, and it's fun, but I understand it's a challenge sometimes for people who've just probably been tossed into it. But it's a route you can take and embrace. And if you like watching a good Disney cartoon or whatever, and something excites you, you won't mind doing it. You know, you won't mind making a giant cutout of something that you like as well, and knowing the kids will like it as well.
Yeah. Is there any specific websites or videos? I know you've done some stuff online or a lot of stuff online in the past. Is there any, like, specific tutorials out there or websites that people can go to if they're not familiar with, you know, foam cutting or how to do the outlines?
No, I mean, just again, you know, the YouTube, there's so many tutorials out there. I know they got to be there. I don't have any that I've looked for myself, to be honest with you. We just kind of started doing it. And I have seen some foam sculpting YouTube's out there, videos, and of course, that's more in depth. That's using, you know, 2 foot, 4 thick inch feet blocks of foam and actually sculpting and carving things, get more professional type stuff. But, and you can find some simple things on there too, just foam cutting, foam sculpting props. You're going to find something there that's pretty much basic. But as far as that type of thing, I'm, Like I said, it's all over Pinterest. Just search your app of choice, and you're going to find something there that's going to be able to help you out.
And when you say foam, you know, like it's like the insulation foam that you can find, like the big sheets you can find at Home Depot or Lowe's. I know, in my opinion, or in my experience, the Pink Panther brand has always been pretty good. It's pretty thick, and so it's like you said, it's durable. You can do a lot with it. So okay, well that's good. That's some good practical.
Different types of foam. They're okay. The green, I call it insulation foam. It's the pink or the green, and yeah. You can get them like half inch. You can get them like 2 inches thick. Depends on what you want to do. And then you have your white beaded foam, the kind when you break off like little bitty snow pieces of foam fly everywhere. Yeah. You get those thicker white beaded foam. That's more for your sculpting and in-depth type stuff.
Okay.
More dimensional type projects. Your insulation foam, the flat green and pink sheets that we see, that's more for like one-dimensional flat cutouts. And, you know, you can make structures with it. Use a lot of hot glue and sometimes some screws. You can actually build. We built giant Lego blocks out of them. Just okay. Make a big box frame with the foam, and then buy a bunch of those disposable cardboard paint buckets. You know, get them dirt cheap and hot glue them on top as the Lego connector pieces, and paint them on it as well. And you have a Lego block. And again, you know, you can do Pinterest and YouTube and how to make a Lego prop, and you're gonna see all kinds of variables. People using wood, people using foam. People get, you know, pretty generic and easy with it, and some people go on high tech with it. So just kind of find your genre there that you want to mess with and kind of pattern after that.
Yeah, that's great, man. Those are some great practical things people can use. Now, going along with the whole visual thing, you know, another big aspect of kids' church, right, is the screen, you know, and what we project on a screen or what we have, you know, as far as graphics and videos and so kind of help us out with maybe, again, if we have a kids pastor, you know, maybe there's a projector lying around somewhere, or they have a screen that they can use. Why is it important, you know, to have visuals, whether it be action song videos or other visuals? And, you know, how can people just kind of use what they have? Because I know I've been in kids churches before where maybe, you know, there was a screen or there was a projector they could use, but they never got to it. Why is it important, you know, to have those visuals throughout your kids' church to, you know, add to the environment?
Because we're visual today, and every kid has an iPhone or iPad, and they're just, that's the way our society is. And
yeah.
And they're even carrying these things in churches now. They got their own little phones and stuff, and our kids are well-trained. They don't mess with those during service. So, you know, that's how we're visual. That's how we learn today and how we see things. That's what attracts us. That's what we do. So I don't look at it as an adversary. I look at it, again, as a tool, as a help, as an aid, as a resource. Again, I want it. I need it. I like it. I'm going to use it. And if I'm going to have fun using this, the kids are going to hop in. I just know they will, because I'm excited about using it. And flat screens are cheap today, folks. I mean, they're cheap. You can, you know, buy them on Craigslist or whatever. You can buy them cheap and get on, you know, your Black Friday sales. And you don't need no 10-foot giant screen up there. You know, you just need, you know, a flat screen monitor up there, and that you can buy a cable cheap to hook up to your very own laptop that will project, you know, your images on that screen as a second monitor. And Amazon, you know, I've used that up more the last couple of years, because you can buy these cables for your laptops and monitors, connectors, so cheap, and get them within a day or two, and use that to transfer your images from your own laptop. You don't have to have a church computer set up there and all this expense, but you can just use your own resources. I think there's even some you can connect from your phone, from your iPhone or whatever, to a monitor. You can do a mirror image that way. Either by through Wi-Fi or through a cable or something, and use these images. And we use them every week, every Sunday. We use it with our hashtag theme, which is our theme for the day. And so we, you know, our story is about, you know, anything I want here. What we just recently did here, we're doing Christmas plays lately, so we've been practicing more than anything. But Jesus, and on the Last Supper or whatever, you know, we'll have a cartoon image of Jesus in the Last Supper that we dragged off the internet, and then put our own text with it, you know, serving others or whatever the theme is, and we put that on our screen because that's what we're doing for today. And any announcements that we got coming up, you know, we before service we have a slideshow, you know, today's hashtag lesson is blah blah blah, and then the screen changes to, you know, our Christmas plays coming up. Be ready for that. And the next screen comes up, you know, it's a little promotional thing for another event we're doing, and our Toy Connects toy store is going to be open up in January or whatever it is, you know, kind of keep that going before and after service. And during the service, every segment that we have in our kids' church, segments is another thing that helps with your environment. Keeping it fun is constantly changing your segments and having different people come up and do a different segment, you know. If we have our launch pad is what we call our prayer time. It's the first thing we do. We launch, have a launch pad. There's an image on the screen that says launch pad, and the kids know to get up there at the very front. We take our prayer requests. We pray over the service and the needs. And then, you know, next we have, you know, our action song or a skit, then offering, then our lesson, and no particular order. And then usually the game is after the lesson. You know, we mix it up a lot. So that those segments inside your kids' church also help provide that fun environment. You know, kids always, you know, what's going to be next? Or I know what's going to be next. I can't wait for it. It's my favorite part, you know, action songs or game or whatever it is. And it keeps the staff on their toes.
Yeah.
You know, constantly changing. So everyone on our staff is in control of that next segment. They got to be ready to go.
That's awesome, man. Those are some great, great tools. And I feel like we could do a whole other podcast on your kids' church format. Because that you got a great thing going there, you know, with changing the segments up, keeping their attention. But, you know, I think it's just important to realize that the visuals, you know, like the launch pad, and you're talking about the images you're using for your lesson, you know, visuals are a great way to just add to that environment and to just, you know, kind of keep pushing the kids' focus to the message that you're giving and where you want them to go. So,
you know, whenever teaching your lesson, you know, if you're preparing your lesson, it's so easy just to do an image search on what you're teaching in advance. And it's just a matter of clicking on that image and drag and dropping it on your desktop and maybe a crop it or whatever. And use that in your file for your lesson, you know. And if you're in a little B classroom with five or six kids on your laptop, or you got a little flat screen up there, you know, you can slideshow these little images and drop them up on the screen as you're talking, you know, and give them a visual. With flannel graph back in the day when we were little kids, you know, and this is now it's just digital. It's the same thing. So, and there's so many little cartoons, more and more of these little Bible-based cartoons are coming out, Bible cartoon shorts, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, and then there's episodes. There's old vintage cartoon Bibles that people dropped online, and there's these new ones coming out. Then you got your VeggieTales. All these resources and videos and images that you can use to enhance your lesson are for just free, you know, right there. All you gotta do is click on it and use it.
Yeah.
And FYI, don't ever do it on the last minute. You do it in advance.
Right.
Once in a blue moon, you're going to get stung. You got to be careful. You are online, and you know, you want to the stuff that you see, it says VeggieTales. I'm going to watch the whole thing first, you know.
Yeah.
You just never know what people's going to do out there.
Yeah. And to add to that, you know, another thing I stress to my media team is never, ever, you know, play things to like stream it, never stream it online. If the Wi-Fi is not working, you know, or whatever it, you know, there's a glitch and it stops. And then two, you know, you never know with ads now on YouTube, you just never want anything to come up. So we use, there's a program where you probably have one or something similar called Clip Grab. And it's really simple. You just, you take the link, and you put it in Clip Grab, and it downloads the video for you. And so that's, you know, that's one thing I always stress to my team is never, ever play it online just for those reasons. Always download it.
Yeah, those commercials. You never know what kind of commercial is going to pop up on there.
Yeah, so that's always a good, you know, good rule to live by. You know, never stream it. Always download it. Same thing with, you know, music. Oh, don't stream it. You know, download it first. Just, you know, for the purpose of, you don't want, you know, it's stopping the Wi-Fi, something happens in the middle of your action song, you know, and that can get awkward, you know, and then you got to sing it, you know, on your own. And if you're like me, you're a bad singer, the kid, it's just not going to work out well. Well, those are some awesome practical tips, Randy. I appreciate it. And before we go, man, before we wrap it up, tell us about your new podcast, which is pretty cool. You guys just started a new kids ministry podcast called Sticks and Dirt. So tell us about, now listen, you only get a minute plug for this. Okay. That's all you're paying me for. So don't go over a minute.
I'll plug it.
I'm just kidding, man. Tell us about your, this podcast, man. You guys started.
Well, thanks to you and my pastor. You've been doing this for a couple of years and, pastor here has always wanted to do a podcast. I never got the bug for it until as of recent. And he kept pushing every so often, you know, we want to do a podcast for our church. And so, you know, I always listen to yours, and then so I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And he got the equipment for us and worked out some things and end up here just the last couple months, you know, Sticks and Dirt, and we call it SND, Kidman Talk Podcast. It's different. It's more of a talk show format. End up finding out we've got, you know, four or five people on our kids' church staff that really want to hop in on this and just as excited to do it as I, you know, as I thought I would be, and like it made it really fired up for me as well. And so we've got anywhere from 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 people here at any given time on the podcast discussing topics and whatnot. And we try to do the topic first, get through that, and then after that we're being silly. Travis, he's our jokester. He does these corny children's jokes. We call it Podjinx. And after that, we play little fake Christian commercials and just have fun with stuff, sound effects and things, and we do some trivia and things like that every so often. But we have a lot of fun. But we get to our topic up front, and then if you can tolerate us, the rest of the corny stuff, you know, we're just talking Kidman stuff like adults do and generating ideas and just having fun with it, Sticks and Dirt.
We'll make sure to put that in the show notes so people can check it out. Because, I mean, I think it's important to – you can never have too many resources. And I just listened to it today for the first time. And you guys already have, what, 13 episodes?
Yeah, we've been kicking out one or two every week. Like I said, they're here. I mean, if they're available, they're going to be here. They want to do it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to feed that, you know. And
that's
so
great.
We're actually getting ready to do a Christmas thing here tomorrow night, so that's going to be a challenge. Then after that, we'll get back in gear for following year. So,
cool, man, awesome. Well, Randy, thank you so much for being on the podcast, man. And you've given some great knowledge and insights, and I know our audience is going to get something out of it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate it.
And thank you to all of our listeners for listening to Kinetic Podcast. We appreciate you being with us. We hope this episode inspired you. We hope it equips you. And most of all, we hope it energizes your kidmen. We'll see you next time.